You guys okay? Everybody okay? I'm glad you're okay. I have something on my heart, and as I was trying to put it all down, amen. How many of you know that when you have a message that we listen to the Holy Spirit, and then what I do is I make some bullet points on my iPad so that I bring you the Holy Spirit's message and not just everything that I think. Are you with me? I do that, and I really, really am diligent about keeping it to what he says. Amen? I'm not perfect. I know I get my stuff in there sometimes. And you just got to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Amen? So understand that. But today, I could not put it down the way I usually do. I could not. He just wouldn't let me. I just have some thoughts, and I put those thoughts down, but he wouldn't let me organize it and let me put it through the way he usually does. So I don't know how this is coming out. It's got to be in him. So I pray this. I pray, open hearts to the Holy Spirit. Jesus' name. And I ask you to say this right with me right now. Say, my heart is open to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit of God. I receive from you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, that's always how it works. And I want you to know something. You know, sometimes, you know, preachers are different creatures, in case you haven't figured that out. But, you know, you can't be one of us and be normal. So we're not. What happens is people try to make preachers like them. They think that we're kind of being on the same page as you. A lot of people think, I'm not saying you do, but a lot of people think that, you know, that preachers need to bring a message in agreement with what they think. And, you know, that's just not true. That's not right. And you know what? I am not here to tickle your ears. There's no preacher that is. And we're not here to beat you. We don't believe in beating the sheep either. That's not right. And I know I've seen that. I've seen mean preachers, and that doesn't work. I had a season in my life where I was a mean preacher. I know, and it's not any fun. It's not good. And it's not fun, and it's a mess. But so we're not here for that. But we are here to bring you what God puts on our heart. For some reason, he made me the pastor of this church, and that is a bona fide miracle. And so that I'm a pastor, that's a miracle. So we believe in miracles, amen. But today I have this message on me, and it's just been popping up and popping up and popping up, and it's been coming for a few weeks. And finally, one day, Mona and I were doing our devotions, and then she read something out of one of the devotionals that we look at, and talked about this in a little different way than I'm bringing it, but it just brought it to the forefront. And the Lord said, "Go ahead and preach it." He said, "I'll take care of it. Don't worry." This word that I'm getting to today, there's two words actually, and the first one is pressure. Pressure. You ever have any of that? Anybody have any pressure? You know, and it's just been on me, and then the other word is implode. Those are the words that he gave me, and I really started into this, and that little book that we were reading or whatever said something about pressure, and I went, wow, that's really good. And I said that was a confirmation for me. But as we look at this, we look at pressure, and if you look at the definition of pressure, and there's a lot of different ones, but the main ones are stress. Uh-oh. You ever hear that one before? Strain, force, burden, tension, Pressure. Pressure, man. And pressure's amazing, isn't it? You get pressured about stuff. People pressured you. Amen. Amen, amen. It was amazing. We had we have a rental house in Tamagiri, and we had the hot water heater went bad. This lady lives there, two daughters, a lady and two daughters with no hot water. Not good. So I was thinking about it, and I've been praying about it, and praying for Gary, and he had pressure, man, because he's the plumber. He had pressure on him to get that done. Those girls, you know, I could imagine them calling him and just giving him stuff. But we really need to learn to deal with pressure. There's pressure everywhere from the outside. And what the Holy Spirit is telling me is that we need to have pressure on the inside to keep the pressure on the outside from imploding us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I just saw this picture, and I was going to use a balloon because they have balloons downstairs today, and Mona had me come down and find the balloons and start blowing them up, and got my good volunteers over here, Bill and Mercedes, to get those balloons blown up. And I was going to use one of them, but it doesn't really work that. It doesn't do what I say. But the Lord gave me a picture. And I wanted to have one up here, but I just couldn't get it all done. But back in the olden days when I was pumping septic tanks, we got into vacuum trucks. Or when it was real old days, we just used centrifugal pumps on a big trunk, on a big truck, and a centrifugal pump, prime it, you get water to it, and then it sucks the stuff out of the tank and puts it in the truck, right? Well, nowadays they don't use those because they're mechanical and they're a pain and they get clogged up. They're no fun to unclog them when you get a doorknob in one of them or a squirrel. Or some other things that I could make you have to go to the restroom. But they're nasty. But we got into vacuum tanks. And man, I started studying them. And I got one, finally got the very first vacuum tank that we ever had. And man, oh man, it was amazing. What you do, it has this pump. Look at you found that. Where was that? You there, buddy? Thank you, Sam. You are my hero. You guys just give. No, not in this cup. It's hot. It's perfect. Thank you, Sam. But I was studying that and looking into these tanks and seeing how they work. And I got mine working real good. What they do, there's this big air pump that you put on there, and the bigger the pump, the better. And we got these big air pumps, and we got them on our truck. And, man, you just start that thing. And what it does, it sucks all the air out of the tank. And then you open the valve, and then it pulls the stuff into the truck. That's how those trucks work. It's called a vac truck. And they use them in the oil field. They use them all over. They use them for a lot of different applications. Vacuum pumps are amazing, and they really, really work. At this altitude, they're a little bit limited. You can't pull as much vacuum as you can down at sea level, but you can, and they work fine, and they work really good. We have some now. My boys have some that would suck your socks off. I mean, they'll just really, really do the job. But I was having one, and this guy called me. He goes, man, you got to go to Denver. And I said, why? He said, so-and-so's tank imploded. And what this guy did, this wasn't, nowadays they use a lot of aluminum tanks because they're a lot lighter. They're real strong. But this was a steel tank. And what this guy did somehow is he went and he started his pump and he just left it going. He left it going for a long time. Now they have they have little things that'll stop it. You know, when it gets to a certain vacuum pressure, it'll stop and it'll save your tank. But in those days, at least we didn't know about them, and neither did this guy. But it imploded his tank. He had a 2,000-gallon tank on a truck, and it sucked that tank in. It looked like somebody popped your lunch sack, baby. It was just gone. Amen. It was imploded. And it was amazing to me. And it was amazing to me. And, you know, as I was thinking about this and thinking about this story about this, that's what's happened to people. People are imploding. People have had the life sucked right out of them. And some people quit. Read what Mona wrote today. I mean, there's some powerful stuff in that thing. And I mean, some people have quit. Since 2020, some people have just quit and they've stopped. And there's a lot of church people like that. But you know what's happening? We're starting to wake up. We're starting to say no more of this stuff. But people are imploding and they're having the life sucked out of them. And there's so many things that do this to us. This thing, when it happens to us, when you look at implosion, you know what the dictionary on my phone said? It said implosion, bursting inward. Whoa, that's like popping from the inside out. Man, oh man, and that's what that's what that negative pressure does. So what do we do? We've got to get an air compressor that fills us up. Amen. We got to be full of the Word of God. You can't be full of your lousy thoughts. Hello. Every problem is because of our lousy thoughts. Every problem you have is because of your lousy thoughts. No, it's somebody else's problem. No, it's not. It's you. Just own it. Don't tell me you've had it so bad and God dealt you a bad hand and you know, you've got it terrible, or I'll tell you the story about Benji. Right, Robin? We know the story about Benji. I'm not going to tell that story today, but Benji had it worse than you. I don't care who you are. There's nobody in this room that I don't know some of you. I better watch out. But that had it worse than Benji. Right, Robin? That we can find. I used to use Mona as my Benji story. She was the one she grew up in a hard life. She had a hard life. I'm telling you what, she did. She had three dads. One of them died. One of them went to prison. Raised by her mom and her grandparents. She did all kind of, I mean, stuff, man. She was molested. Yeah, just, you know, just rough. So I used that. I used her for that until we heard about Benji. Robin remembers the story because it did something to us when we heard it. And what happened is that girl, I'm not going to tell you her whole story, but I'll tell you that she was abused horrendously by parents. She watched her mom be killed. She watched all kinds of stuff. They put her in an orphanage and did bad things to her. I mean, just awful, awful life. And she came out on top. She came out to be the most wonderful, beautiful, incredible woman of God that you could ever imagine. She got that. And she said that her secret to overcoming life, overcoming the pressures of life, overcoming the implosion that she had in her life, was to love God. Well, then Jesus said that. He said, you can hang all the laws and the prophets on these. Love God, love people. That's paraphrased by me, but you can look it up. Amen. That's what Jesus said. That's what he meant. Amen. You know, we gotta love God, love people. We gotta believe God. We gotta believe. We gotta go to God. We've got to get our air compressor. We gotta get a big one. You don't need one of them phony little ones that you put in your car. You plug it in, it goes, it won't even blow up a balloon, you know? You don't need one of those. You need a good one, man. You need something to fill you up. And you know, I've been looking at that, and I was just talking to God about it. First, I'll talk about the the causes of implosion in our lives. And the first one is your thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, the Bible said that. I didn't make this up. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So, your problem, what? What'd you say, Robin? Say that out loud. You said what? You said me. That's what you said. Thank you. You did. You mouthed it. Or I don't read lips very well. Look. I'm your problem. We do think that. We blame our spouses. We blame everybody. We blame our rotten life when we were a kid and our abuse and all the stuff that happened to everybody, all the dysfunctional families. And by the way, you think you're the only dysfunctional family? Look out. If you don't have a dysfunctional family, you don't have a family. And they're all that way, everybody. And everybody's messed up. So, you know, don't look around and pretend like, oh, look at them, they're so pretty. Look at them, they're so perfect. Tam and Gary, look at them. Aren't they the perfect little couple? They come to church holding hannies. They come in, they sit down. They have a perfect life, let me tell you. You guys have no problems, right? Nothing happens to them. Amen? But, you know, people think that kind of nonsense. If you knew what was going on in everybody's life around here, and I know just a small portion because I'm the pastor, if you knew what I know, you'd go, what? You know, yeah, so we all have stuff, don't we? But we're causing us, the first thing that causes us to implode is to get sucked in. And what happens when you get sucked in? You're useless. What is a balloon? What is those balloons that you let the air out of down there, Bill? What good are they? You know, they're nothing. They're nothing. And it's just trash on the floor. That's what happens. And your number one thing that causes it is your stinking thinking. And you think on things that are not true. Think on the lie. You think on what they tell you on the blankety blank news. It's worse than fake. You think on that. You meditate on what they're telling you, what they're telling you, what you're telling, what they're telling you. Pretty soon, there's people that go stupid or believe it. And then they really go stupid if they believe it. And it's just horrible, right? The first thing. Second thing, fear. Fear is how they got us. By the way, they didn't get us. Fear is how they're trying to get us. You're going to die. I'll never forget my good friend David Hinton. And by the way, he'll be here back up here in March again, and we're going to... He's going to do the bar church. So yeah, we'll take David to the bar. He likes to preach under the bras. Excuse me. Sorry, there's little kids in here. But we go to the Little Bear and have church service once a month over there. But I'll never forget when the doctor told David Hinton. They said, now you have this foot and you have this terrible infection in this foot. He had all kinds of problems. And you were going to have to cut it off. He says, you ain't cutting it off. He said, well, you're going to die. He said, well, so are you. You know, everybody's going to die. What are you talking about? He said, oh, you know, that's what he said to the guy. Oh, you know, he says, is that what you want me to do? Go, oh, he says, I'm not. And then they told him when he had this heart attack, you're going to die. If you don't do this and this and this, you're going to die. David said, no. Or you. You're going to die. Don't tell me that. And they're trying to scare everybody that you're going to die. Listen, everybody's going to die. And if you go around being afraid of dying, you're going to die. Because your fear will kill you. Amen? But we don't have to be afraid of death. Paul said to die is gain. Amen? Nobody wants to die. I don't like death. I just went to a funeral yesterday of a young guy. Not a young guy, he's my age. Young guy, he died. And he was in Denver. I grew up with him. His name was Tom. And we grew up on the same street together. And he was the guy that his mom bought us a flask of 10 high whiskey when we were 10 years old, and we drank it. And I was never so sick as in my life. But, you know, some good things like that, you know. I mean, we grew up in the ghetto. You know, I grew up at 50th and Umatilla. You ever been there? I went to Horseman Junior High School. You feel sorry for me? You know. I don't want you to. But that guy died, man. He died. And it was so sad. I hate that. I didn't want his wife and his family, kids up there, you know, when Aaron died or when Caleb died. We don't like that, do we, Julie? We don't like it when these people die. I don't like it. But I'll tell you what, it's just but a vapor. It's just you know what? We're going to be with them again. We got to get over that stuff. We got to quit worrying about dying. You got to live like there's no tomorrow. You got to live like you're dying tomorrow. Who gives a rip? We're going for it. Amen? Yes. We got to get up off of our blessed assurance and quit worrying and being scared of the COVID. You know? Dude, I had the COVID. So did many of you. You just had it. You got over it a week ago. You know, we all had it. And you know, and a lot of my friend that I was with at the funeral, he had all his shots. He did everything right, everything perfect, and he had COVID four times. Oh, man. Like, what? And he finally said, I don't know. He said, I guess if you're going to die, you're going to die. Well, thank God the guy that died, they didn't call it COVID. He died of kidney failure. Glad they didn't call it COVID. That was surprising. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You know, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know. I don't know. But anyway, guys, they want us to be afraid. There is a conspiracy. You know, you don't have to believe it. Doesn't matter. You can call me a sick, warped conspiracy theorist if you want to. There is a conspiracy, and they want to cut the population down for their one world government. That's what they want to do. And I have documented proof, and Beth is going to help me. I'm prophesying this right now. I haven't talked to you about it. But we are going to make a notebook. We're going to put in there all of the facts that we've gotten from doctors and from people in high places, like the lady that is the doctor for the U.S. Navy, and what she said about all this stuff. And we're going to have a book that tells you the facts. Because we can't just go out of our mind. Nobody believes you. Nobody believes what I say. Nobody. They don't believe what I'm saying. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. That's what you are. You're some kind of kook. There is a conspiracy, and they want to delete our population. And I have proof on my phone of the man that said it. And he said that if this thing goes the way they want, 20% of our population will be deleted. Now, if that doesn't put fear in people, I don't know what else does. Even if that's fake, it caused fear. Are you with me? I don't have to be afraid. You know, like I told Kevin yesterday, I said, I don't have to, you know, I'll come see her. And he goes, no, don't come see her. I don't want you getting a COVID. But, you know, I'm not afraid to go in there. You know where we've been? Were you with me when we went to the hospital in Big John Mfwimbo's hospital? Oh, in Tanzania, man. We went in that hospital. Oh, my gosh. And Big John looks around and goes, we don't know what that guy has. We don't know what 50% of these people have. We're trying to help them. What do? We go in, we pray over them, man. Amen? You know, that's what God called us to do. We're not afraid. You cannot be afraid of that. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You know what you do? I'll just tell you the secret. This works. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood covers me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can walk into any situation. You will protect me from any foul devil. You'll protect me from any foul disease. And I'm blessed and I'm protected. And there's warring angels around me keeping me safe.
Amen.
Right yes. now, in yes. Jesus' name. You pray that, you can go anywhere.
Amen.
We rode in an airplane one time. Well, more than once. But this one was a special one. And we were flying from India to Nepal. We were flying from New Delhi to Kathmandu on Royal Nepali Airlines. And it was cool, man. It was a cool deal. And so we're flying in this airplane, and the seat was loose. And they brought us a sandwich in a baggie. And in a cup of Coke that was used. Yeah, and the seat was loose. And the tires were bald. And we landed in Kathmandu. And I got out and I asked my friend that was with me. I said, did you guys hear me praying? He goes, no, the whole plane did. I was praying in the Holy Ghost, man. I was praying in the Spirit. I was, man. Oh, Shantara Masa. We got to get through this thing, man. Amen. But you know what? You can't be afraid to do that. God told me to go somewhere. He takes care of me. Are you with me? Somebody said, well, you're not going to be able now. You have to have a card in Peru. I was planning a Peru trip. Now you have to have a vaccination card. Go. And you can't go there. You can't buy. You can't sell. I wonder what that means. In Peru. Rosa told me that this week. So. Breaks my heart. Because we were going to go to Peru because Peru was easy. Now you can't go to Kenya without a vaccine. Right now. Watch. I'll go to Kenya. I'll go to Peru. And I won't get the vaccine. Read my lips. I won't. If you got the vaccine, I'm not mad at you. That's up to you. You get whatever you want. Amen. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you that God told me not to do it. That's what I'm telling you. But I'm going to go. Amen. They opened England. They took the mandates all off the UK. That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, man, that's wild, isn't it? They're saying, hey, come on now. But let me tell you, that's not going to stop me. I'm not stopped by fear. We're going to do what God tells us to do. And if God tells me to go to Kenya, I'll go to Kenya. And I'll go, and he'll protect me, and he'll get me there. If he tells me to go to Peru, I will go. Amen. I was praying. I was saying, go. I always say, go until he says no. Amen. Gosh, I got a lot of stories. I got to get to the message. Part of it. Strife causes you to implode. You cannot be fighting with each other. You cannot be mad at people. You cannot. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I'm saying you cannot. It will eat your lunch and pop your sack. You can't have strife in your family. You cannot. You cannot have strife. Amen. We got to lay down strife. It doesn't matter what they did to you. Forgive them. Take the blame. Take the blame. Say, okay, I did it. Yeah, okay. Get over it. Get over it today. I'm telling you, you can't have strife. Stop it. Because strife brings in every devil in hell. And you know already about James chapter 3. If you haven't read James chapter 3, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it invites every devil in hell to come into your life. Strife. Strife is basically selfishness. Strife comes when you don't get your way. Hello? Strife comes when you don't get your way. And you don't, we just can't live like that. Unforgiveness. Somebody hurt you. Somebody hurt you. I don't give a rip. Somebody hurt you. Even if you haven't been hurt, you haven't been in church. Hurt people. They don't mean to. They just hurt you. They hurt you. People hurt you all the time. Man, I got a note this morning on my phone. It hurt me. It did. It hurt me. Oh, God, that's ridiculous. He said, what, are you feeling hurt? Lord, I'm feeling hurt. He says, healed you, remember? That's what he told me. You're healed from that. Get over yourself. Hey, man, somebody hurt you, bless them.
Amen.
If somebody hurt you, bless them. Bless and curse not. Don't be hurt and go, oh, I don't like those people anymore. I'm going to ruin their reputation. I'm going to get back at them.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You don't even know how he repays. He repays with love. His overwhelming love will take you over. He will take over those people that hurt you. His overwhelming love. Bless and curse not. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. What do you think he's going to do? Take away their birthday? Give them cancer? Get them in an accident or something to teach them a lesson? That's what we think. We think that kind of stuff. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. This is not in the notes. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Hey, he's going to repay with love. He doesn't repay with something else. He doesn't do that. God is not spanking his kids. The rod of correction is his word. And you need to believe it and receive it. Amen? That word will correct you. It'll correct your course. It'll correct all these things. But God is not going to spank you. God is not going to punish you. He punished Jesus for you. He did that. That's what propitiation is. He did that. He punished Jesus for you. Jesus got what you deserved. Yeah. Jesus got what that guy that hurt you deserved. Yeah. Jesus got it. Hello. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. That's for damn sure. Amen. Amen. Come on. That is the truth. You know what else will eat you? Is what will implode you? Unbelief. That's the ultimate. Unbelief is the ultimate definition of sin. Unbelief. And there's like 50 more, but I'll give you one more, and it's mistrust. Listen, when you trust God, it really doesn't matter what people do to you. You can't be offended. Let me tell you this. If you're offended right now, you're in the flesh.
Yep.
You are not walking in the Spirit if you're offended.
Amen.
Too hard?
No, I don't agree.
Or is it just too true? Come on, man. Come with me here. Then I got to give you the answers. I know we're going to go over time a little bit. You going to be okay?
Yeah.
We'll still get to the class. We will. We'll get to the class before 11. I promise. Turn to Psalm 34. I did this on purpose. I didn't give you the word up front. I'm giving you the word at the end because this is the answer. Are you with me? Psalm. And by the way, just so that you know, it's not Psalms. There's no S on it. Psalm. Well, I'm saying, look, this says Psalm.
It's the English major in me that goes
in. Yeah. Of course, it's plural if you're talking about three of them. English major. Don't you love her laugh? I say crazy things sometimes just to hear Sharon laugh. We can have fun in church. Psalm 34 and verse 36. There is no such thing. Where did I get that? Holy Moses. Maybe it's 36, 34. No, there's no such thing. Holy Moses. We'll just read the whole psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's the scripture right there. That's the scripture. You want it? Take it. That will inflate you. There's your air compressor. That will inflate you. That will bring that pressure up so that the pressure out here doesn't squash you. Amen? Then look at Proverbs 3:5. You guys know that one. Somebody can just quote it out of their head, can't you? Come on now. What is it, Sam? Go ahead. You said it. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Come on now. Come on now. Did you get it? Come on. Get blown up here. Let's look at... Come on, buddy. Come on now. We're getting blown up with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. Yeah, then I could get started on this. But James chapter 1 says in verse 2, it says, my brethren. Here, look at this. This will inflate you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Man, I'm getting blown up, man. I'm pumping air into my tank. Come on. I didn't say I was getting puffed up. I'm getting blown up. I'm getting full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word. You got to remain full of the Word to take what's happening now. You got to remain full of the Word. That Word right there. Come on. If you don't do anything else, take that Word, confess it 152 times a day.
Amen.
Amen. Put it before your eyes. Tape it on your mirror. Write it on your mirror with lipstick. I don't care what you do. But get it before your eyes. Amen? Get it before your eyes. Mona's a sticky note. She used to do those sticky notes of scriptures everywhere. Now she's gone to big plaques. Yeah, she don't use sticky notes anymore. She puts big plaques up in her gift store where we live. Amen? She does. She loves it, man. It's awesome. Psalm 112. Come on now. Psalm. I said it right, Sam. And you know what? It's the same thing with Revelation. Not revelations. It's the revelation. Jesus. That's what it is. Come on. Psalm 112. Learning something today. Are you learning anything? Okay, Psalm 112 and verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Watch out now. Come on now. Is that you? Is that you he's talking about? Come on. It's you. It needs to be us. Man, that's the state of righteousness. Come on, that's who you are. You're the righteousness of God. Amen, you are. Say it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I do that. I'm not trying to fill time. I don't need to fill time. Amen. You need to speak that. We need to do that. We need to speak this out loud. Somebody just told me the other day they started reading the Bible out loud in their house, and they said it changed our home. They'd never done it before. And it was a testimony. They said, we started reading it out loud in our house. Now it has changed the whole atmosphere of our home. Read it out loud. Read the Word of God out loud. Speak it out loud. Speak the truth in love. Amen. All right. How about Matthew 6? These are our air compressor guys. Matthew 6. And I could do the whole chapter too. But we're just going to do 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Who wrote this? That's red, man. That's Jesus. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Come on, man. You cannot worry about what's gonna. We got to break the spirit of gonna in Jesus' name. Gonna happen? Jesus is Lord, and He is, and He is I am. That's our that's our proclamation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come on. Come on. Where are we? How about Philippians chapter 4? That you can just use the whole chapter if you want to. But I'm just going to give you one verse. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Just do 6 and 7, Shelley. It says, be anxious for nothing. What? Rocket science or something? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everything that you do for us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Romans 8:28. Anybody know that one? And we know all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. Do you know that one? Oh, come on, man. Isn't that awesome? How about this one? John. Let's go to John. Luke, John 1, no, John 14, excuse me. John 14, 1. Shelly tries to follow me, she's going, sorry. John 14, 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You mean to tell me it's a choice? You have a troubled heart? That's what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. Let this thing blow you up. Amen, amen. Is she ready to come up, Chris? Okay, because I'll wind her down right now. Amen. We got to believe together. We got to believe together, and we got to start speaking the word. You got to inflate yourself with the word of God. Today. Don't wait. We have no more time to wait. I'm telling you what, no more time to wait or you will deflate. I'm a poet in the world and never know it. But it's the truth. Huh? Yeah, they are. My feet are long fellers, that's right, Sam. Some people are going, what? What do you say? Say this with me out loud. I believe that Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. Saved my soul. He gave me righteousness. And today I choose to inflate myself with my word that I speak out of my mouth, which is His word, the truth of the gospel. I believe it. I receive it. Fill me, Holy Ghost. Overflowing.